And the message this morning, friendship with Christ. And Jesus here is going to speak to us about what it means to be a friend of Christ. And we're going to look at that this morning. I was asked, we preached, three, 4 weeks out of the first few verses of this chapter, and I was asked when we were going to move on. So we're going to get to cover some new ground today, and we'll begin reading in John chapter 15. Well, let me ask you if you're able to stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. John chapter 15, and we'll begin reading in verse 12, and we'll read this passage responsively down through verse 17. John chapter 15, verse 12, the Bible says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Together on 13. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another." Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on our time together this morning. Father, how we rejoice in your goodness to us. Father, we thank you for the blessings that are ours because of Jesus Christ. And Father, because of your grace, your wonderful grace, Father, we have been saved. We've been forgiven of our sins. We've been given a new heart. Father, we have been given a promise of final redemption one day, as we'll be taken out of this wicked world and given a new and glorified body. Father, we thank you. And yet, Father, as we live in this world and we battle against the flesh, the world, and the devil, Father, we've been told of this marvelous, marvelous friendship that is ours, all because of your grace. Father, I pray that we would know, not intellectually, but experientially, what this friendship is. And Father, that we would all be able to exclaim, like the songwriter of old, "What a friend we have in Jesus." Father, I pray that as the Word of God is preached, that your Spirit would move and work, and that the truth would be heard. Father, I pray that Jesus Christ would be exalted. And Father, as we speak of Jesus Christ as a friend, Father, his love would be ever more treasured. Father, that his glory would not be diminished, but Father, increased. And Father, we pray that we would feel his love, the love of God in Jesus Christ. And I pray if there be one here today that knows not of this love, Father, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. We ask your blessing now on the Word of God. I pray that your Spirit would fill me and use me in this hour. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. Here in this passage, Jesus tells his disciples, "Henceforth," or "from here on out, I call you not servants, but I have called you friends." You know, the heart of man always craves friendship. You know, one preacher used the phrase, "Happy is the man who has a friend. Happier is the man who is a friend. Happiest is the man who has a friend and is a friend." And what a treasure. If you've ever known of a true friendship, the love and loyalty that exists in the context of that relationship, and the goodwill
You know that there is always someone that you can count on, and when the rest of the world is too busy or too involved in their own affairs, there is somebody that you can turn to, and there's someone that with whom you can be transparent, and they'll still love you no matter what. You know, the scriptures have much to say about friendship, specifically in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has much instruction that. Certainly as parents that we need to even teach our children about this matter of friendship. But Proverbs 27:10 says, "Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother that is far off." Not to diminish the relationship that would exist between brothers, between family, but what a blessing a friend is. Proverbs 17, verse 17, "A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." You know, as we read the scriptures, we also come to understand that a true friend is hard to find. You know, the Bible does speak of that friend. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, but a true friend is hard to find. You know, I think about the Apostle Paul at the end of his ministry as he writes to young Timothy and says to Timothy, "This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia have turned away from me." You see, this scripture warns us that friendship, you may have a friendship that is not a true friendship. Because of what someone might seek out of a relationship. The Bible speaks of that in the terms of money. Proverbs 19 verse 4, "Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor." You know, someone who has something to offer, they have a lot of friends and will have trouble discerning whom true friends are. Proverbs 19 verse 6, "Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts." See, but to find someone who will be that friend, not because of what you can offer them, not because of what you can give them, not because of what you can do for them, because of who you are, and they love you, and they desire that friendship, what a great treasure. And this morning, as we talk about this matter of friendship, you know, all friendships in the human realm pale in comparison to the friendship I preach about this morning. You know, the most important friendship that any man can have is this friendship with the Son of God. Jesus tells His disciples, "Henceforth, I call you not servants, but I have called you friends." And this morning, I want to give us a few thoughts from this text about what it means to be a friend of Christ. Let me say this, number one, to be a friend of Christ is to love His friends. To be a friend of Christ is to love His friends. There's an old saying, the friend of a friend is my friend. There's also a corollary of that, the enemy of my friend is also, yeah, exactly. But look at what Jesus says here in verse 12. Would you read it with me, please? John chapter 15, verse 12. Ready? "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." You know, Jesus is giving us this principle. The friend of a friend is my friend. He's giving us this principle in the context of this verse. If you are my friend, I have commanded you that you love my friends, that you love one another. You see, and I want to remind us this morning, this is indeed a commandment. You know, this isn't something that's just important. This is required of everyone who is a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you show that love to Him by loving His friends. You see, you cannot love Him without loving His friends. Jesus says, "This is my commandment." I love that. You know, we're not going to find the command to love given in this context in Scripture elsewhere. You know, Jesus, when He spoke of this command just a few minutes earlier in chapter 13, why don't you turn back? In my Bible, it's just a page previous. John chapter 13, look at verse 33. Read that with me, 34, I'm sorry. Read that with me, please. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And Jesus said this was new, because this commandment is new in him. You see, previous to this, this command to love would be to love your neighbor as yourself. And you yourself were the standard for love, in that you would treat others how you would want to be treated. And if you wouldn't want someone else to do that to you, then you wouldn't do that to them. If you wouldn't want someone else to say that to you, you wouldn't say that to them. Jesus had instructed us that in the fulfilling of the law, it was kept in the saying, the passage, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And yet now Christ has removed that standard, and for the child of God, Christ is the standard. You see, look at it again. Verse 12, chapter 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another. Say that those last five words, as I have loved you. You see, no longer is it how would I want to be treated? What would I want someone to do to me, or what would I want someone to do for me? No. Instead, we ask ourselves, what would the Savior do? What would the Son of God do? How would He show His love in this particular situation? You see, there's one more point I want to make before that we move on, and that is this. This is a command that only disciples of Christ can keep. You see, those who have never seen the love of God in Jesus Christ, those who have never experienced that love, the love that is available to them through Jesus Christ offering Himself as the sacrifice for sin. You see, they don't understand this love. And Jesus says it is His love that is our standard for love. And as we love the friends of Christ, we love one another as He has loved us. You see, to truly recognize His love, you run to the cross. You understand, you realize that there on the cross, He gave His life and He shed His blood for you. You fall at the foot of the cross and you plead for His mercy and His forgiveness and for His grace. You see, the rest of the world, they walk past the cross. They walk past that display of the love of Christ, and it means absolutely nothing to them. Millions of Americans recognizing and even to some extent celebrating Good Friday and Easter, and yet they ignore the sacrifice of the Son of God. The prophet Jeremiah said this, "Is it nothing to you? Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger." You see, as the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus Christ there on the cross, you see, to see that and to know that, to understand His sacrifice and His love, is to come to Him in love and to love Him. And Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You see, this love only belongs to those who belong to Him. But about this matter of friendship, to be a friend of Christ is to love His friends. Let me say this secondly, number two. To be a friend of Christ is to recognize His great love. To be a friend of Christ is to recognize His great love. Verse 13, would you read it with me, please? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life. You see, we understand the significance of Jesus' words if we understand the context. As Jesus has already, He has already observed the Passover with His disciples. And he has instituted that the Lord's Supper is, and he has washed their feet, and he has identified Judas as the betrayer, and Judas has slunk out into the night to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus has been teaching his disciples, and now they are on, even as Jesus speaks these words, on his way to the garden where he will pray to the Father and then be arrested. And morning light, the next rays of sunlight, will find him in custody outside Pilate's hall with a mob of Jews demanding the death penalty. And yet the Bible says he willingly laid down his life. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, No man taketh it from me. No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. You see, and this reminds us that this love does not exist only in words or in sentiment. You see, love is not just flowery words and fuzzy feelings. You know, it's good to be reminded of this as our world prepares to celebrate Valentine's Day. Love is not just talk or sentiment. There's to be a love that exists in the will, and we choose to do what is best for another without regard to ourselves, without regard to how much it costs us how it's going to inconvenience us. You know, our world prepares to celebrate Valentine's Day in February, and we've just come out of January, which is divorce month. Divorce filings usually during the month of January, over a normal month, rise by about a third. You know, it's a New Year resolution to end their marriage. You know, listen, Jesus says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And listen, Jesus is reminding us that love does not exist only as words or feelings. Now, if there is true love, yes, that true love will express itself in wonderful words like this, or maybe romantic words of a poem or a song or a card or amorous feelings or the little kissy face emojis that I get from my wife. Listen, the world, the kind of love that this world knows about is not the love that Jesus Christ showed to us. Okay, when in this world, countless millions will engage in sin and even abomination in the name of love, this world knows nothing of the love of God in Jesus Christ. You see, sexual intimacy is only to be expressed within the bounds of a covenant marriage. And the Bible tells us that anything else invokes the judgment of God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable in all, and in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, what? God will judge. You see, if you're inviting the judgment of God upon someone, let's just say it this way, you're not their friend. You might claim to love them, but you're not their friend. You don't love them. You know, remember what your parents taught you? You know, if they're trying to get you to break the rules, if they're trying to get you to do something sinful, something wrong, they're not your friend. Okay? And Jesus is telling us what true love is. Greater love hath no man than this. You see, to be a friend of Christ is to recognize that great love, the love that is shown to us in Jesus Christ. You see, this love exists in the will. This love is a choice. You know, our mind might be telling us all the reasons that we don't have to love them or don't have to show that love. Our hearts might not feel like expressing that love. And yet the love of God, the charity, that as the word is sometimes translated, God's love is a choice to do what is best for another without regard to oneself. And Jesus tells us the greatest expression of that love is to lay down your life for your friends. See, this passage reminds us as Jesus laid down his life. You see, it wasn't the fame of martyrdom that drove him. It wasn't a cold, calculated transaction. Okay, I'm going to do this so they can have. No, no, no. It was love. Greater love. The love that was expressed to us on Calvary. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in difficult circumstances. Sometimes folks will, maybe on a phone call, maybe sitting across the desk, they'll foolishly demand that God show His love to them by getting them out of their difficult circumstances. You know, they'll even give God ultimatums. God, if You love me, then why would You allow this to happen to me? God, if You loved me, you're going to answer my prayer. God, if You love me, You're going to raise me up off this hospital bed. God, if You love me, You're going to pay my bills or whatever it may be. Oh, listen, my friend, the greatest display of love that God can show has already been shown in Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, say it with me, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. See, the greatest love that God will ever show you is not working in your circumstances to give you what you want or what you desire. The greatest love that God can ever show has already been shown to you in Jesus Christ. Let me say this next. What does it mean to be a friend of Christ? To be a friend of Christ is to submit to His Word. To be a friend of Christ is to submit to His Word. Look at verse 14. Would you read that with me? Ready? Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. See, how can you know that you belong to Christ? How can you know that you are one of Jesus' friends? Well, in this passage, Jesus says, you are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. You see, Jesus said that His friends submit themselves to His Word. You know, I heard a preacher once say, the request of a friend is a royal command. Now think about that. If you have a friend and they need something, you're going to do it. Not just if they need something, if they want something. You see, you're going to do everything within your power to make that happen. You know, I think of the story of David's mighty men. David had some soldiers, some loyal men, that valiant men that rallied themselves around him. And these men weren't just soldiers, they were David's friends. And one time in the heat of the battle, David, he reminisced about the sweet-tasting water outside the well of Bethlehem. And the Bible recounts for us the fact that well was currently behind enemy lines, but that mattered not to David's friends. He wanted water from the well of Bethlehem. And so that meant that these men were going to hazard their lives, and they were going to break through the garrison of the Philistines, and they were going to get that bottle of water, that cruse of water from the well, and they were going to bring it back to their king. Why? Because the request of a friend is a royal command. You see, if Christ is our friend, we want to keep His Word. If Christ is our friend, yes, it is a command. And at the end of the day, we have to obey His commands. But I want to remind us that keeping His commands is our highest pleasure. It's our greatest delight. You know, the passage that we looked at last week, we talked about faith and overcoming the world, But the verses previous, 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 2. It says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments, say it with me, are not grievous. His commandments are not grievous. So I ask you this morning, how do you view His commandments? Do you find His commandments to be onerous and cumbersome? Do you find His commandments to be difficult? And yet against everything that your heart longs for and desires. And listen, my friend, in this flesh, we're always going to have that pull of this flesh towards the things of this world. But I want to remind you that if the Spirit of God has come within you and given you a new heart, and you belong to Him, and you are His friends, then there is a desire to please Him. There is a desire to do His will. And where there is no desire to do His will, there is no friendship. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, the Bible says this: we love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. See, to say that you love God and yet to ignore the commands of Christ is a contradiction. You see, if what it means to be a friend of Christ is to you submit yourself to His word. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. I want us to notice next, number 4, to be a friend of Christ is to share His heart. To be a friend of Christ is to share His heart. Verse 15, would you read it together with me, please? Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You see, in this passage, Jesus says, you're no longer my servant. You're my friend. Now, we are glad to be His servants. Let me just, make that. You know, the Bible talks a lot about this matter of serving and being His bondservant, His even slave, if you will. And we're glad to be a servant, you know, because of our love for Him and all that Christ has done for us. Gladly, joyfully, willingly, we make ourselves a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 3, I love this, in helping us understand what it means to live in this world as a Christian. Paul instructing these believers who were servants, he says, Colossians 3:22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. I love that. I love that because in this passage, Paul reminds us, he says, listen, you go to work, you punch the clock, you have to do whatever the boss says, whatever the foreman says, and he says, yet, he says, I want to remind you, you're not actually, as a Christian, you're not doing it for your boss or for your foreman. You're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ because you're His servant. And you're not doing it to be a man pleaser. You're doing it to please the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, let me say this. As a Christian, we don't need to be ashamed of those words servant and service. Okay? Because they're trigger words to this ungodly culture. You know, when Christian institutions go woke, it's all about grooming the language. And there's words you can use and words you can't use. And I want to remind us that service is a Bible word. Okay, you know, and by the way, if they're grooming their language to try to please this godless world, okay, Paul summed up their intentions and their direction in Galatians chapter 1 when he said, for do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. They're not serving the Lord Jesus Christ when they're intentionally grooming the language to exclude Bible truths. You see, it's important we understand this. And yet Jesus is pointing out here the distinction between a friend and a servant. Yes, we are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus wants to make a distinction here that a master doesn't share his dreams and goals and plans with a servant. You know, all he shares with the servant is what to do and how much time he's got to do it. You know, that's all the servant gets is the next command. And yet Jesus, look again at verse 15. He says, I'm jumping in at the middle of the verse, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. What did Jesus share with us? All things. Everything. Everything. There was not one thing that Jesus had in his heart that could have been or should have been shared with us that was not shared with us. No, he shared all things. All things. Everything that the Father commanded me to give, Jesus said, I have given you. You see, and listen, it's important that we grasp this because it's not just the what's or the how's. He also gave his disciples the why's. He gave them that understanding that they needed to go out and fill with the Spirit of God, turn the world upside down. And by the way, I want to remind us as parents, that is our goal, to pass on that understanding to our children. We don't just pass on biblical knowledge. You know, it's more, you know, what we're doing here today is more than just, well, it's Sunday and we go to church on Sunday. You know, our children need to know why we go to church and what is the church. And they need that level of understanding. And listen, it's more than knowing what words not to say. You know, don't say that. And why are those wrong words? And where do those wrong words come from? Because Jesus says those words didn't just come out of nowhere. They came from a heart, and those words are exposing that heart. And listen, it's more than just knowing that they shouldn't wear tight or revealing clothes. Why? And music and movies and on we could go. Listen, Jesus says, I gave you all things of my Father, and I gave you that understanding. And truly, as parents, we need to give that same understanding, desire to give that same understanding to our children. You know, in John chapter 17, when Jesus is communing with the Father as he prays a phrase very similar to this. In John chapter 17, verse 8, for I have given unto them the words that thou gavest me. I love this. And they have received them. You know, Jesus says, I've given it to you. And he didn't say it here, but in chapter 17, you received it. That makes us friends. Not servants, friends. Henceforth, I call you not servants, but I have called you friends. You see, oh, listen, my friend, what wonderful, wonderful truth we have been given by the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are His friends, we're going to receive His truth. We're going to want to know His heart. Jesus, if we're His friend, we're going to share His heart. You know, the older I get and the longer I've been saved, I realize that probably the greatest gift that we've been given besides salvation itself is light, truth. You know, the rest of the world, as they clamor around and in their darkness, you and I have been given divine truth, and we don't have to walk in darkness, and we have the privilege and the opportunity to walk in light. The book of Proverbs says, but the way of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble, and how we see that being played out over and over and over again in this world in which we live. You see, we have been given the truth from God. What a blessed gift we've been given. Listen, being a Christian doesn't mean you have all the answers. Certainly there are many, many times we find ourselves in difficult circumstances and we don't know what. We don't know what God is doing and we don't know how it's all going to turn out. And yet, while we don't know the what, we know the who, because the Lord Jesus Christ is with us and we trust Him and we love Him. And Jesus tells His disciples, He says, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. I have called you friends. What does it mean to be a friend of Christ? Number five, to be a friend of Christ is to be chosen by Him. To be a friend of Christ is to be chosen by Him. You know, here in this passage, verse 16, that first phrase, would you read it with me, please? Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. Think about that for just a minute. If you are here this morning and you're saved, you're a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus says, it wasn't because you chose me. Jesus says, I chose you. What a wonderful truth. Do you see the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in that? Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I want to just take a moment and glory in His grace. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, as friends of the Lord Jesus Christ, we find ourselves in the same position as Abraham and Moses. You know, the saints of old. You know, the Bible in James chapter 2 refers to Abraham as the friend of God. And yet the Bible declares us as His friends. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past according you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4, would you read it with me? But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8 and 9, would you say it with me, please? For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Listen, God hath before ordained that every single one who would hear the voice of the Son of God as the shepherd calling them to follow Him, calling them to salvation, every single one of them have been chosen, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And Jesus tells us here, listen, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And it reminds us of Jesus as He began His ministry and went about calling His disciples, follow me, He said, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, Jesus said. And Christ chose you. Christ chose you. Listen, there's nothing in and of ourselves that we can glory in. He didn't choose you because of what you could be or because of what you would do, because of who you were or what you were. It is by grace, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Oh, listen, my friend, the fact that you could be a friend of God, chosen to be a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. What honor. What an honor. What a privilege. Listen, young people, don't miss the fact. Don't miss out on the fact that God put you in a home where the Word of God would be taught, where you would be taken to church on Sunday. God wanted you to know that you could be a friend of Christ. You see, it could have been the will of God that you were born in China and you were taught that the state is God and your greatest loyalty and your highest love should be shown, but should be reserved for the government. The fact that you weren't born in India The fact that you weren't taught the Hindu religion with its myriad of gods and goddesses and its vulgar, abominable practices. And listen, you could learn about a Hindu god or goddess of every single hour for your entire life and still not even scratch the surface of the total number of their gods and goddesses. And yet, God placed you in a Christian home and you are taught, you are given the knowledge of God and taught the fear of God. And you are learning that you can be a friend of God. Don't miss the grace that's been shown to you. Growing up in church, you know, some of the young people I grew up with, they were given this grace. And yet, the whole time they were growing up, they had their eyes set on the world. They wanted the things that this world could offer them. They wanted the sin that this world could offer them, the pleasure that comes, as the Bible says, of being in sin for a season. Listen, don't miss. Listen, sin is not your friend. But here the Son of God tells you that He wants to be your friend. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, He tells us, to be a friend of Christ. Well, that means, first of all, to love His friend. You love His friends. To be a friend of Christ means that you recognize His great love. Greater love hath no man than this. To be a friend of Christ is to submit to His word. If ye do whatsoever I command you, to be a friend of Christ is to share His heart. As Jesus says, I call you friends, for I have, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. To be a friend of Christ is to be chosen by Him. And I want to say this lastly, number six, to be a friend of Christ is to go forth and bear His fruit. I want us to read the rest of verse 16. Verse 16, would you read it with me, please? Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it. You know, Christ didn't appoint us, ordain us to huddle up and withdraw from the world. Now, Jesus understands the animosity of the world. He's going to go on in this passage, and well, in fact, verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Okay? And yet, though the Christian is hated by this world because of Christ, Jesus says, listen, I've chosen you and I've ordained you that you should go forth, that you should go and bring forth fruit. You see, now, listen, this is only going to happen as we understand God's plan. We, as the Christian, go out into the world. Okay? We go out into the world. And we gather as we've been instructed on this Lord's Day. Forsake not the assembling. We gather back together and for a time of spiritual encouragement and refreshment and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ and mutual edification. Listen, the purpose of the Lord's Day isn't so you can catch up from a busy week. Sunday is the Lord's Day. Revelation chapter 1 tells us that. That the purpose of the Lord's Day isn't so you can get ready for a big week. You know, the purpose of the Lord's Day isn't so you can have a day off or a day to sleep in. The purpose of the Lord's Day is to receive that spiritual instruction and focus because you have been commissioned, you have been ordained by the Son of God as His friend to go into this wicked world and bring forth fruit. And by the way, Jesus says, that ye should go. He doesn't say, get them to come. And I want to remind us, you know, this has to do with our methods. How do we reach this wicked world? You know, Jesus told His disciples, He says, all power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. and lo, I'm with you always. You see, it's important we understand that. Because I want to use his instructions here to remind us of our methods. Christ told us to go. He didn't say, get them to come in. He didn't say, I want you disciples to put on a good show. And I want you to entertain the lost with the gospel and the gospel story. And make sure you make it likable so that they keep on coming. Now, I want to remind you that the gospel is offensive and they hate me, so you're not going to be able to speak the truth. You can't preach the gospel. You can't tell them that they're sinners or that a particular activity is a sin because that would offend them. You can't speak my words because then they wouldn't darken the door. Just tell them how special they are and how much I love them. And don't tell them they have to love me in return. And if they're my friends, they're going to keep my commandments. Just stroke their pride by telling them how special they are and how much I fawn over them. Oh no, my friend, Jesus told us as his children to go. Go. You know, we wonder why the Christians have lost the culture war in America. You know, when the church is no longer salt and light because the lost have made their way into the church and they can't preach against sin. Christians have been repeatedly told that the highest good is affirming the sinner, not addressing their problem, never speak the truth in love, just speak loving words and with no truth, and yet Jesus, as the Son of God, tells you and I, as his friends, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Then he says, as a friend of mine, there's a special privilege. Look at the last phrase there of verse 16. Whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, what? He may give it you. Oh, the blessedness of being a friend of Christ. Oh, the blessedness that is ours through Jesus Christ. Truly, what a friend we have in Jesus. But I want to ask you this morning, is he your friend? Do you know this friend to be a friend of Christ? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.